This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to Augusta Free Press on Facebook, to our podcast. If you're listening that way, I'm Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. We're going to talk NASCAR news, wrap up last weekend, a busy weekend at Daytona on the road course, and then looking ahead to this weekend down in Miami, down at Homestead. And so, Rod, we'll talk about a couple of races from this past weekend. We don't normally talk about the Saturday races as well, but we'll start with Sunday. Christopher Bell gets the win, chases down Joey Logano late in that race on the road course at Daytona. First career cup victory. Mm-hmm. And so talk about Christopher Bell. And, he's got an interesting backstory to get to where he is today.
Yeah, Christopher Bell had started out primarily Xfinity Series, and then he kind of moved his way up into from the Xfinity into the Cup Series. But, last couple of years, he'd been working for a team that had some partial Joe Gibbs Racing help along the way and helping him out. But, they weren't the top-notch cars. And, when everything started changing around probably about the mid-season point of 2020, we started hearing this rumor that before it was over with, Christopher Bell was going to be moving over to Joe Gibbs Racing and replacing Eric Jones. Even though Eric Jones had signed an extension probably about a year or two before, Eric Jones was not on stable ground. Well, then Eric Jones goes and ends up having a great race, I think, at Darlington, and ends up proving a lot of critics and saying, hey, maybe this guy still has some stuff in him. But maybe the Christopher Bell thing looks a little bit more intriguing. We've got a young driver here. It's got the potential of really pulling some wins off. And so we're going to still just go ahead and go with Gibbs, or Gibbs is going to go with Christopher Bell and move him on over. And it's probably one of the best moves that Joe Gibbs Racing has made all season, because, you've already had two different winners in, two different races. First time winners, Michael McDowell of the Daytona race, and then Christopher Bell with this race on the Daytona road course. It was a great win for him. And, he said the quote that really stands out with me: I finally feel like I'm relevant again. He's been relevant for a long time, but the thing is, just getting with the right team. And that's what he ended up doing.
Another tough finish for Joey Logano. He led a lot of this race, finished second again, of course, last weekend, Daytona 500. He and Brad Keselowski crashed each other racing for the win on that last lap. So another tough finish for Logano.
Yeah, another tough finish for him. And I'm beginning to wonder, is there something going on at Team Penske that we don't know about? Because Logano and Keselowski have been racing so hard against each other here in the past couple of weeks. Really, the melee that started there on that last lap at Daytona, that was caused by Brad Keselowski and also Joey Logano getting hooked up and getting together and wrecking. But I think the thing that really surprised me is Brad Keselowski's driving this past weekend. I was just really surprised by him. I talked to a couple of friends and they had said they were very upset over Chase Elliott getting knocked out of the race. Chase Elliott had a chance there and was doing really well. And then Elliott gets knocked off the pace. He ends up being knocked out of the race. And one of the quotes that I made to someone, and I'm just going to be honest and blunt about it. Brad Keselowski reminded me of a drunk that failed a sobriety test. He couldn't stay on the track. He couldn't stay in between the lines there toward the last part of that race. He was hitting everybody in sight. I know there's going to be some people that's going to say that Keselowski is he deserves a better rap than that. Well, yeah, he does. But I guess that just going to prove once again that if you're desperate enough to try to win races, you'll pull anything out of the rabbit's hat to try to see what you can come up with. And that's what he was definitely doing. And again, Joey Logano had a chance at a victory on this one, could have contended there at the end. He gets knocked out of it again. So bad luck, at least for the Penske car so far this season.
Yeah, you talked about Chase Elliott. He had the lead. There was a caution for rain 15 laps from the finish. Mm-hmm. And, this is where strategy comes in. It can be tough to figure out what you want to do, what you need to do. They decided to bring him in for some new tires. He pitted from the lead, fell back, worked his way back up to fifth. You mentioned he spun and he finished 21st. Mm-hmm. Man, it's just so tough to figure out what you need to do with those late race cautions like that.
Yeah, and especially this time around with the late thing of rain coming in, because the big decision was, are you going to leave these cars out on the track They don't have the tires. They had the regular slick tires. They didn't have the road course tires at that point. Do you go and do you risk taking the slick tires and driving around on the road course in wet weather, or do you pit, go in, get the road course tires that's got some tread in them to be able to channel that water away and then try to make a run for it? Well, Chase Elliott did that, but still those things happen. And that was one of those things that you just kind of throw your chips to the wind and hope that something's going to land the right way. And it didn't land the right way for Chase Elliott in the end.
So we've talked about Joe Gibbs Racing having a good day on Sunday with the win. Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin finished third. Mm-hmm. So some good finishes there for JGR. A nice personal thing for Joe Gibbs himself the night before, Saturday night. His grandson, Ty mm-hmm. Gibbs, won his first Xfinity Series race, actually his debut race on the Xfinity Series. 18-year-old kid mm-hmm. out there running around, and he wins the race. And so a very special moment for Joe Gibbs.
Oh yeah, it was. It was a very special moment for him because, you know, your grandson, like you said, his debut race, and he goes out there and he pretty much smokes the rest of the competition out there in the Xfinity Series. And this was his first ever race like that. The kid's got some talent, and I think he's going to definitely make a name for himself. The timetable may have been moved up a little bit more for Ty Gibbs. I think, you know, that debut race may have only been maybe a 4 or 6 race deal in the Xfinity Series. But you know what? It could open up for a little bit more because they will see that talent in that young man. And we might be looking probably about maybe another year, 2 years down the road. You might be seeing this young man make his attempt at the Cup Series before it's over with. He's just that good of a race car driver. And, you know, a lot of people find this hard to believe. You go back and you talk with former Washington Redskins fans and people that like Joe Gibbs. A lot of people don't know that Joe Gibbs has an affinity and a love for drag racing and racing in general. Went back there for a while. Joe Gibbs had sponsorship, or at least sponsorship of a car, in the NHRA series. And then he kind of faded back, and then he went to strictly NASCAR at that point. But he has actually had a love of racing for a very, very long time. He said, you know, if I had not gotten into football and coaching, I'd have probably been a race car driver is what I would have been. And it's definitely shown in the family. I mean, with his son, of course, that passed away here a couple of years ago, and the connection he had with Denny Hamlin, even the boys, his son, he had a knack for being able to pick out drivers or people that would be able to make the move in the NASCAR circuit. And you know what? I mean, when you're brought up in it and you're brought up like a prodigy, I guess sooner or later, you're going to come up with some wins. And Ty Gibbs definitely did on that Saturday night race.
I was reading some notes about Ty Gibbs. So 18 years old, and he's the second youngest racer mm-hmm. To win at this level. He had never raced an Xfinity car before. So that's one little note. He had never done a live pit stop before. Mm-hmm. And of course, in this era, we're still in the COVID restrictions era where practice and qualifying time are so limited. So he'd never raced one of these cars before. He had never done a live pit stop before. He goes out and wins, and not just wins the race, he won a road race. So wow, that says a lot about the kid's talent.
Yeah, it does. It says a lot about his talent. It says a lot about his ability. And, you know, I'm sure that he probably is used to, when we talk about not making pit stops, he's probably used to these 25 lap or 30 lap, 50 lap features or something like that, that they've done on the late model circuit that you'd find in your hometown tracks that you'd have around the area and around the country. That's probably what he's been used to. But for him, he probably has sat down almost to a degree like a Peyton Manning or somebody and sit down and watch film and see what do I have to do? I mean, you've got at least the football aspect of it. And I'm guessing at that. I'm just, you know, kind of assuming that's probably what he's done. He's watched some video. He's watched some things, how it's done on television and, you know, what he has to do. And I'm sure he's a very quick learner, and it definitely proved that on Saturday.
Let's talk Chip Ganassi. He's in the headlines for something that he'd probably prefer not to be in the headlines for. Fine for bringing a guest to the pits at Daytona. Talk more about this.
Well, this kind of took me by surprise. I thought that all the NASCAR owners, the car owners, everybody else had been well-versed on this. And I don't know if it was because of Chip Ganassi's name, if it's because of the team, whatever the deal may have been. but he ended up bringing a visitor, allowing, you know, him in the pits, or allowing that visitor into the pits during in competition areas. And it was against COVID-19 guidelines. And so he's been fined $30,000. And I think he's even been suspended for one cup race out of this whole thing. So that's a big blow for him right there about this, because it kind of gives you the impression maybe not all the car owners to a certain degree are on the same page when it comes to this COVID, these COVID restrictions. They played it for 2020, what was left of it, but maybe somebody thought it was okay to kind of play fast and play loose with the rules a little bit and see who they could bring in for this race. And it definitely caught up with them, with Ganassi in the pits this time around.
Yeah. $30,000 to find out what the limits are. Yeah. NASCAR expanded the bubble this season to let, because team owners last year, they couldn't even, they weren't even allowed in the garage. They had to watch from the other side of the track.
Right.
I guess
you had your older drivers too. Sorry, you said some of your older drivers or older car owners, I should say, that would not have come. They would not allow in the pits. They either put them up in the box, or they had to watch from somewhere else, because Richard Petty and some of the others, no, because of the risk of COVID. That's what they were afraid of.
Yeah, and it's still the case that drivers can't bring their families into the infield, and you know all the motorhomes set up there on tracks are usually, that's kind of like their home away from home. So still trying to be cautious in that respect. And so Ganassi, yeah, it's a $30,000 lesson there to learn the hard way.
Well, you know, NASCAR is, and we're into 2021, and I've already gotten my letter from NASCAR, just kind of alerting me, saying, hey, we're going to be doing the races. Of course, you've got Bristol coming up. You've got Martinsville coming up. But we want to tell you something. We're still going to be abiding by the COVID-19 guidelines and protocols the same way that we did back in 2020. That's not hard to understand whatsoever about that. And so I'm having to go through this whole thing again about, you know, I'm going to be given the 20 questions when I go to the track. Probably will favor me a little bit better now that I've had the COVID vaccine. I've had both shots. So that's going to help, at least in that regard. But, you know, still, they're not going to take any chances as to what's going on with this, because to me, and speaking about that, you know, to me, NASCAR has kind of been the leader in getting the sports world, whether some people want to admit it or not, back on the map from, you know, almost a near disaster, even though NASCAR was desperate for money at one point. You know, the TV contract was running by and they were still showing iRacing. NASCAR had to get back to racing. And so they came up with the strictest policies they could. And yeah, they've lived by them. And, you know, I think the governor of the state of Virginia could learn for some things from NASCAR, because most boneheaded thing that I've ever heard of in my life of yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about high school football before we started with the podcast, allowing a concert, an outdoor concert of 1,000 people to go on, but yet you won't let but 250 people in to a football game, a high school football game, and that's not even counting the cheerleaders and the marching band. There's somebody needs some logic, and somebody needs their head examined as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to ask about the timing, because you cover the races in Virginia, looking at, unfortunately, Bristol is March 28th, because we did get the indication from the governor's office yesterday that it looks like the restrictions that he's already lifting starting March 1st will be lifted even further in April. Right now, outdoor venues can have 30% or 1,000 as a cap. But it looks like we're going to be 30% without an artificial number cap. So that would, you know, if let's see, Martinsville is April 10th. So if things are in place, then there could be a nice crowd at Martinsville, theoretically. And North Carolina's governor, Roy Cooper, has lifted some restrictions there too. I just got a note about the ACC basketball tournament. they don't have a number yet of how many fans will be there, but they're going to allow fans at the ACC basketball tournament next month. So it may impact you as you get closer to the end of the month of March and then into April, as far as Bristol and Martinsville goes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check with them at Bristol Motor Speedway. Of course, with Bristol Motor Speedway being in Tennessee, the governor in Tennessee has pretty much opened everything up, you know, for these venues to open up and sporting events. So we're looking at possibly, I know some of the college football teams are talking they're going to have full quarters next year. They're going to have the stands filled to capacity. Texas A&M, they're already talking about it for the SEC. So, you know, we could see that. Now, as for Bristol coming up at the end of March, that'll remain to be seen. I know that they said 30,000, but I wonder if anybody is really wanting to take that chance and kind of push the envelope a little bit more and say, let's let 75,000 in. Let's let 30 more thousand in. Let's make it 60, 75, something like that. We don't know yet. I know that Clay Campbell has made a pitch to the state of Virginia to see what they can do about Martinsville coming up. Not heard anything about Richmond coming up, but then Charlotte at the same time with Roy Cooper, they've made a pitch, you know, say, hey, look, you know, you're going to do the same thing for an outdoor venue like a race. What can you do about maybe doing something for Charlotte Motor Speedway by the time May rolls around? Just to kind of keep things pertinent in the picture.
We'll keep an eye on that because, yeah, it does impact a lot. I know folks just want to get out. Gosh, we all just want to get out and go do some stuff. And we want to be careful, too. But, yeah, it seems like with the vaccine, you're already vaccinated. With the vaccine getting out, numbers are improving greatly. Hopefully this spring and summer we can get out and enjoy some NASCAR. I know my wife and I have already signed up for season tickets for the Washington Nationals baseball team again. So we're hopeful to get up to DC for some games this year. I mean, Pete, we need this. We need to have some return to some sort of normalcy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I took the vaccine not only because of the fact of, you know, it's available out there. I know there's been people preaching conspiracy theories and they've been people putting the thing in there that there's microchips in the, oh gosh, I don't even want to go there, but still, I mean, you know, people are preaching this. I'm not getting the vaccine just for the sake of myself. I'm doing it not only for myself, I'm doing it for my dad, who's 92 years old. I'm doing it for the kids that are in school, because as the way things have been going, the kids have been necessarily carrying it more so than they've been actually coming down with it, at least as I look at it in the schools. And the adults have been the ones that's either been carrying it to the kids, and a lot of these kids have been asymptomatic. They've not shown any symptoms of it. They've stuck them in quarantine. Now, I'm not saying all of them have been sick. There have been some kids that have come down with COVID and they have been diagnosed with COVID, but they've not had the symptoms as bad as maybe some of the adults or some of the older adults have had. So, you know, I did this, you know, for the sake of things. I just want to protect people out there, not only myself, but also family and different things like that. And I've got a grandbaby to think about too. You know, who knows how this strain is going to be. And, you know, that's where I came back and I talked with the football coach at Ridgeview the other night. And we were talking a little bit on our podcast, and he said to me, he said, I can't understand this, of why the crowd thing has become such a big deal in the state of Virginia. He said, it's just not right. And I said, Virginia High School League could have learned a thing or two, and the state of Virginia could have learned a thing or two from NASCAR and being able to do these type of events if they had handled them in the right way. And I think that's a big sticking point with me right now.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that. Because I totally agree. Outdoor transmission is not a big issue, and we should be encouraging people to do safe things. And outdoors is certainly a safe place. Especially if you're careful and spread people out the right way. Like NASCAR has, as you pointed out, you were at Bristol, was the first race last year you went to in July?
July for the All-Star race. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were people there, and there were people for the second race you went to. And that was way back when. So now we could certainly learn, and we'll continue to. So,
yeah.
Hey, let's quickly, as we're wrapping up this weekend, Dixie Vodka 400, which sounds delicious. Homestead Miami Speedway this Sunday. What can we look for from this race?
Well, they're going to Homestead. Homestead always has a thrill a minute. It's not exactly your typical kind of track, a little bit of a stretched out Martinsville, so to speak. Doesn't have a lot of high banking in it, but mostly medium, maybe a low to medium kind of grade of banking, but always a good race at Homestead when they go down there. I think the big thing that has surprised me is the, speaking of COVID, They've got a couple of the crew chiefs and some of the crew with one of the teams, Corey LaJoy's car, as a matter of fact. His crew chief is going to be out. And lo and behold, who's coming out of the press box? No, it's not Dale Earnhardt Jr., but it is Steve Letart, who is Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s former crew chief at one time or another at Hendrick Motorsports. He's coming out, and he's going to be helping some of those guys out a little bit more in the pits with Corey LaJoy's team. You know, that could be a good push in the right direction for Corey LaJoy. I think he's a really good driver. He's just not had a good car underneath him in a long time. And, you know, he switched over, I think, from he's been with Ford. Now he's over to Chevrolet and driving one of the Camaros. So it could be a good race for him to finally maybe show some of his stuff like Christopher Bell did this past weekend at Daytona. But, you know, I think we're going to see maybe a return, I think, to some normalcy at least. Kevin Harvick will probably be a contender in this one. Joey Logano will be a contender in this one. But the way that the season has been so far, it's anybody's race. I mean, these guys could be contenders right down to the very end. We won't see a big one like we did at Daytona, a big race melee there toward the very end. But we could see some cars because of attrition to see how this is really going to pan out. And we might have another first-time winner. Who knows how things could go. You know, a lot of people still talking about Bubba Wallace right now. They're still saying Bubba Wallace could pull off a win. This might be a good track for him to be able to pull off a win. He would consider Homestead a little bit of a short track for him, even though it's kind of spread out. But, you know, you got him. He could be a contender in this one as well as some of the other youngsters in this one. But I kind of give the edge right now to either a Kevin Harvick or a Joey Logano is what I'm kind of leaning toward right now. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Look forward to the race this weekend, and look forward to catching back up with you next weekend or next week, Rod, to break it all down. Thanks for your time today, as always.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.